Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle. Hello, Circle members. Welcome to your first bonus episode for August 2021. I'm so grateful that you're here. I'm so grateful that you're part of my circle. A little bit of housekeeping stuff before I dive into this bonus episode. First and foremost, our August circle Zoom call is going to be on the last Tuesday in August, as usual. That is August 31st at 7 p.m. Central Time. So from now on, I will be sending this out in emails. I will be letting you know. Don't worry, I'm not expecting you to remember every single month, but having the Circle Zoom call on the last Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m. Central Time has seemed to work out really well. We have people showing up regularly. I'm so thankful that we're building a core group. If you are listening to the bonus episodes and you're not joining us for the Circle Zoom calls, they're once a month. They're typically over in 90 minutes. It's like receiving a group coaching call with me. And these meetings are fun. They are special. They're powerful. They can be emotional. We get real. We get raw and vulnerable in these circle calls. And so the last Tuesday of the month, August 31st at 7 p.m., you can find the link for the call when you log into the membership area. It'll either be on the bottom if you're using your phone, or it will be on the right-hand sidebar if you're on a laptop or a desktop, and you can see a link that says Access Circle Zoom Calls. And so every month on the last Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m., you can go to that little link and click on it and join us on Zoom. And unless something changes this month, my guest will be Melissa Kirk. She's going to join us for our Zoom call. So this will not be available to the general public. It's not going to be published as a podcast episode. This is for Circle members only. Melissa is a human design and theta healing expert, and she came on the podcast to talk about human design, and we decided to save the conversation about theta healing for a Circle Zoom call. So we will be chatting all about theta healing, which I know nothing about. So I will be showing up just as much a student as you are with Melissa Kirk on Tuesday, August 31st at 7 p.m. So that's my first item of housekeeping. The second item of housekeeping is that I have received numerous requests over the last couple of weeks from people asking me if I do one-on-one coaching. I do one-on-one coaching. I don't advertise it, but when people reach out, I will talk to them, ask questions, decide if we're a good fit, and work with them. I've never worked with more than one person at once, but that is about to change. So the universe and the stars and the spirits and the ancestors and my own highest self have communed together and have decided that it is time to accept the invitation for an official holistic trauma healing one-on-one coaching program. I am nervous and scared and excited and thrilled and also feeling very aligned. And this program, however, is not developed yet. I have a good idea for what it's going to look like, obviously. Like, it's not like I've never coached anyone before. But to create this holistic trauma healing program is really going to be a collaboration between me and whoever the clients are, because I am creating an official holistic trauma healing program, but I want to have a range of people to work with to co-create this program with me. And so I have sent out an email about the one-on-one program after receiving a lot of interest, especially on Instagram. That email went out yesterday, which was August the 9th. So if you didn't get that email, please let me know. But in it, I talk about why I'm starting a coaching program, what this coaching program is going to look like. And then there's also a link to an application because I will only be accepting clients by application only for this first round of coaching. The program is going to be 12 weeks long. During that 12 weeks, you will receive 6 one-on-one video Zoom sessions with me. In between sessions, you will have access to me via a private Slack channel so that you can ask questions or receive support in between those calls. And also, I will be giving you weekly homework assignments and checking in with you about those. And that email went out yesterday. It had a link for an application so that you can apply to work with me. It is a very detailed and lengthy application. This is on purpose. I want to be damn sure that whoever I'm working with, particularly while I'm co-creating this holistic trauma healing coaching program with those people, I want to just be sure that we are a really good fit and that the people who are coming are ready, willing, curious, and dedicated to do the work. If you did not receive that email and you are interested in applying for one-on-one holistic trauma healing coaching, please send me a DM on Instagram. You can also email me, hey@lindsaylockett.com, or you can post in the community forum and I will check and I will make sure that you get the link to that application because I would hate it if no one from the circle joined the one-on-one coaching program. So anyway, with all of that out of the way, now I'm ready to share the meat of this bonus episode with you. Last night, I was laying in bed, and as has been the usual lately, I don't just lay my head on the pillow and fall asleep. It takes me a bit. I am one of those people that needs to lay in bed for a while, either watching Netflix or reading a book or doing something really chill before I can turn off the lights and go to sleep. So I had been in bed chilling for a couple of hours and then I turned off the lights. And again, as has been the usual, I did not fall asleep right away. I wouldn't say that I'm experiencing insomnia. I've definitely experienced insomnia before and it is very frustrating. And the laying awake, taking a while to fall asleep for the last 6 weeks or so has not felt frustrating. It has felt like a meditation time. And I think it's an even more productive meditation time to do it as I'm falling asleep than it is to do it in the middle of my day, which is what I have been doing because I have all these internalized messages about how you're not supposed to fall asleep whenever you're meditating because you're supposed to remain present. And I'm going to throw that bullshit out the window. I have found it extremely beneficial to use the time that I am breathing and focused on my body and doing progressive muscle relaxation, which has been very helpful for me in healing from insomnia. I found it really productive, really beneficial, really healing for that to be a great meditation time for me. And the other cool thing about it being a great meditation time for me is that I am receiving downloads from the universe during this time that I'm not receiving during the daytime when I'm trying to take time out of my day for meditation. So I think I'm going to just toss the daytime attempts at meditation out the window and I'm going to use that time for something else. And I'm just going to stick with going to bed and laying in bed and focusing on my breath and presence until I fall asleep from now on. But anyway, so as I was laying in bed last night meditating, I received a download. And this comes on the tail end of a day when I saw a myofascial massage therapist about the pain in my right hip, psoas, low back area that I've been talking about since the day I started this podcast and holistic trauma healing. I think everyone by now is pretty familiar with this pain that I've had in my body for a couple years. So I have not sought out the help of a massage therapist for this issue. I've seen a chiropractor, 2 physical therapists, and a manual osteopath. I've had Rolfing done, and now I'm knocking on the door of myofascial release. I found a trauma-informed myofascial release therapist, and my first session with her on Monday, the 9th of August, was really fantastic and eye-opening. So the download that I received came at the end of that day after I had received that myofascial therapy session. So this has to do with the pain that we experience in our bodies and our inner child. And I don't have scientific evidence to support this. I don't even have like spiritual evidence to support this. But the more I sit with this and ruminate on it, the more I think, for myself anyway, I could make the bold statement that the pain we feel in our bodies, whether it's physical or emotional pain, and our inner child is one and the same. I know that's a bold statement, right? Maybe you're scratching your head about that. Need to sit with it for a second. The pain we're feeling in our bodies, whether it's physical or emotional, is the same thing as our inner child. Because that chronic pain, that pain that we don't have any idea where it comes from, we don't know what caused it, but it's flared up for some reason or another. It wants to be seen and felt. It wants to be heard. And that is the same thing as our inner child wants to be seen and felt and heard. And I admit that I have not always been gentle and kind and loving with this pain in my body. I have felt very frustrated. I have felt a lot of fear. There's been a lot of fear around, what if this doesn't change? What if this is just what I have to live with for the rest of my life? What if it gets worse and it prevents me from really doing the things that I love? What if I lose my ability to be as mobile as I want to be? What if I just have to live with this pain forever? Like, that would really fucking suck. So there's been a lot of projecting into the future, a lot of what ifs. Of course, there's anxiety surrounding that. And the download I received last night was to treat the pain just as you would treat a child. And if you think about it, as adults, the way that we interact with children is as a guiding, loving, safe presence, or that should be how we interact with children. I realize that not everyone does, and that comes from their own wounding and their own trauma and all of that. But just for the sake of this argument, let's just talk about the way that we should be relating to children, which is, we are the adult. We offer safety, protection, co-regulation for the child, because they are not able to always regulate their emotions or understand their emotions. Sometimes they feel really big things that are really scary to them. And it is our role as the adult to provide a grounding and anchoring presence of love and safety. And if we do this with the real children in our lives, whether our own children or someone else's children, why are we not doing this with our own inner child or with our own pain? So the message that I received last night from the universe was this, and I grabbed my phone and typed it out in the notes really fast, and I'm just reading it for the first time today. So here's the message that came through. Treat your pain as a hurt child you are trying to comfort. You treat it like a stepchild, always demanding and begging it to speak to you and tell you what it wants and why it's misbehaving. Have you tried that on a kid, or had it tried on you? You were hurting and confused, and what you needed was someone to hold you and comfort you, someone to tether to while you figured out life. And instead, you got scolded. How dare you have feelings? You're the parent now. You're the adult. It's your job to reach back and take the hand of the frightened child inside of you, to let them know that you've got them and you won't let anything bad happen to them. Go first so your inner child can feel safe to follow you, don't push. Rather, allow love to penetrate into the fear so that there is more love and less fear. Always more love and less fear. Safety is the absence of fear. Your absence of fear will create a feeling of safety for your inner child to hit some developmental milestones and come back into the present. You call back the fragmented pieces of your inner child, the parts of you that are stuck back in the past and all its scary feelings. You call it back from the past by holding that child's hand and helping them forward. And the imagery that was playing in my mind or in my body as I was receiving this download was of me as an adult reaching backward with my hand in the same way that I would reach back and hold the hand of my own children whenever we were getting ready to cross the street or go on an amusement park ride or, you know, do something that was unfamiliar and potentially scary for my child. I would reach back, I would look at them reassuringly, I would hold their hand, and I would lead the way into whatever this unfamiliar, scary place was. And I'm saying that this isn't like revolutionary knowledge, but this is the kind of knowing. I'm not the only person who talks about treating your inner child like a little kid. Like, you would be gentle and you would be playful and loving and compassionate and secure, of course. I'm not the first person to ever say that's how we need to be treating our inner child. But what I am saying is that you can have, or I can have, that head knowledge of knowing, yes, this is how we treat our inner child. Of course it is. How ridiculous that you didn't know this already. Like, we can have the head knowledge of that. But I think maybe for the first time in my life, or since I started doing this work, I actually now have like deep heart knowledge of that. It's not just in my head. And the way the universe revealed this to me or planted this in me was through this pain in my hip that I have often chastised my body for being in pain. I've often been very frustrated with it. I've often been like, why the fuck can you not work the right way? Why the fuck do you have this pain? And why will you not tell me what's wrong with you? Very impatient, scolding. And it's no wonder. No wonder my body can't release it. I'm scolding it like a stepchild. I'm treating it like a stepchild. Instead of holding it, accepting it just as it is, seeing that it has big feelings that might be scary, that it needs to hold on really tightly because letting go feels really hard. You know, I mean, I know that what I'm saying is probably not very profound, but yet it was profound for me because of the way that I have treated my inner child in the past. And the way I've treated my inner child in the past is very similar to the way I've treated this pain in my hip. How are you treating your inner child? Are you treating your inner child like a stepchild? Are you always demanding your inner child? Why are you not getting better? Why do you keep falling back into these same patterns? Why do you keep doing these things? Why do you keep feeling this way? You're not making progress. What's wrong with you? You just keep going over and over and around. You're never going anywhere. You should be so much farther along in your journey by now. Psh, your healing journey. What is that? Like, very mocking, very scolding. Are you treating your inner child that way? Or do you have pain in your body that you're treating? Why are you doing this? There's nothing wrong with you. You've been to the doctor. You've been to all these specialists. And there's nothing wrong with you. Like, just let it go. Let it go. Why aren't you letting it go? Are you treating pain in your body that way? Because I admit I've treated this pain in my body that way sometimes. Have you ever tried that on a kid and gotten the result that you want? Have you tried really scolding and belittling a child and then getting the result that you truly want? It's never worked for me. I've been scolding children for 17 years. Like, obviously I've been trying to be a conscious parent for the last like 6 years of that. But I definitely had my share of scolding my kids, being like, why can't you just get this? Why can't you just do as you're told? Why can't you just whatever? Did I ever get the response that I wanted from that? Really? No. I may have gotten compliance. I may have gotten obedience. But was I nurturing my child's heart? Was I seeing them in their wholeness? No. No, I wasn't. Same with my own inner child. Sometimes I feel like I should be a lot farther along in my healing journey than I am. Sometimes I'm dealing with this with control right now. Control has been a big issue for me for all of my adult life. And I know that my control is rooted in a wounded inner child who grew up in an environment that was completely chaotic and out of control. And so controlling my environment and the people in my environment to my inner child feels like the only way to be safe, because everything else was always so out of control. So I have to have control on it. I have to be white knuckling it and controlling how everyone looks and what everyone does and what our plans are and how people behave and all, like, my environment. Like, I have to control it, because if I don't, it's going to fall apart. The world's going to fall apart. It's all going to come crumbling down. Something bad is going to happen. That is the root of the control issue, is an inner child who grew up in a very chaotic, dysfunctional environment and craved the co-regulation that my parents never gave me. We're not going to get very far if that's the attitude we have towards ourselves. And even if you're not saying these things out loud, if you're thinking them, they're already in your body, because your thoughts are a reflection of your nervous system. So you don't have to say out loud to your inner child, Jesus, why can't you just get it together and grow up already? Why can't you just heal already? You don't have to say it out loud to the pain that you experience in your body, or whatever the chronic symptom is that you experience in your body. Jeez, why can't you just get well already? I've done everything that I can do for you. You should be healed by now, and you're not. What is wrong with you? Do we honestly think that type of mindset and attitude that lives in our bodies towards our inner child or towards the chronic mysterious pain or other symptoms that we have, do we honestly think that that is going to really bring about the lasting healing that we need so desperately? No. We are our own parent now. Even though you're an adult, 30-something, 40-something, 50-something-year-old adult, you still have that inner child inside of you. You always will. There's never a point in your life when your inner child ceases to inform whatever it is that you're doing in the present moment. That's the lens that you have to look through. But there can be a moment when your inner child isn't running the show of what's happening in this present moment, or when the pain or whatever mysterious symptom you're experiencing in your body isn't running the show. It's something that you can observe. It's something that you can love, that you can hold, that you can accept fully. Something that I've really struggled with is fully accepting my own children when they do things I don't like, particularly when the things they do are hurtful towards me. It's really hard to separate the behavior from the child or from the person if the person isn't a child. That's really hard to do. And our ego, which loves binary thinking, it loves to make the other person wrong. It makes the person wrong, not the behavior, but the person. Always grouping the person and their behavior together, not realizing that the person and their behavior aren't necessarily the same thing. Their behavior comes from a place of wounding, and that's not to make excuses for it. That's not to say that it's okay or that we shouldn't have boundaries around it. But ultimately, the root of their behavior is their own wounded inner child. So treating them like you're scolding them, like a stepchild, all it's doing is furthering the wound. It's poking at the wound. That wound can't heal if it's always being poked and prodded. So that's really all I have for you today, is just this very simple, maybe it's not profound, maybe it's not life-changing for you, But I know that at some point you, just like me, have had moments where you get frustrated with yourself, you get fed up with the process, you feel like you've done so much work, you can't even imagine that there could still be work left to do, but yet there is. You're frustrated that you can't break out of habits and patterns. You're frustrated whenever you're not living in awareness. You're frustrated whenever you repeat a pattern or an argument with your partner or a child or a coworker. Like, I get it. But I want you to know something, and this may fill you with hope and relief, or it may fill you with anger and fear, but I hope it fills you with hope and relief that this is always something we're going to be dealing with ourselves and with others. The trick is whether or not we're dealing with it in awareness. And when we're dealing with it in awareness, we can approach our inner child in the same way that we can approach people in our lives who are hard to handle. And that is through the lens of awareness. And when we're operating through the lens of awareness, love and compassion will always be our default. Because we can have love and compassion and still set boundaries for someone. We can have love and compassion and still tell our kids that they need to clean their rooms. We can have love and compassion and still have to be firm about something. Being firm does not mean there's an absence of love and compassion. And this is what we have to do with ourselves as well. I'm actually currently working through this. So you guys all know that I was a food blogger for a number of years, and I was really into super healthy, nourishing foods. And I speak paleo, keto, vegan, Whole30 languages fluently. I am fascinated and obsessed with Weston A. Price's studies on indigenous peoples and their diets and how it related to their dental health. Like, I love that stuff. And also, I have been feeding myself mostly crap for probably 2 months. And it stemmed from being busy. Like, when I'm working hardcore every day, I don't take the time out of my life to meal prep or fix myself nourishing foods. Like, sometimes it's just easier for my husband to go to the store and buy an organic frozen pizza than it is for me to cook something. And I'm not condemning anyone who eats this way. Like, I'm not even condemning myself. It is what it is. However, it is out of alignment with who I truly am to eat crap. I don't feel my best. I don't look my best. I can see differences in my skin, in how my eyes are bright and clear or not. Like, I can detect all kinds of subtle shifts in my body and in my energetic body, in my aura, whenever I'm not truly nourishing myself. And for me, nourishing myself is a humongous act of self-love. But when you get out of the habit of nourishing yourself and you fall into the habit of, oh, we'll just grab a frozen pizza. Oh, we'll just, like, it's just going through the drive-thru one time. It's not that big of a deal. Like, you get into that kind of a pattern with yourself. And then before it's like almost every meal ends up being something that isn't in alignment with who you are. And I don't know how to describe it any other way. It's not about depriving myself of junk food. It's about how I love myself and how I take care of myself. And it requires more self-discipline to meal prep, to grocery shop, to cook things from scratch, to watch what you're eating, to read labels. Like, it takes more self-discipline to do that than it does to go pick up a frozen pizza and put it in the oven. That's not to condemn anyone who's eating frozen pizzas. Please don't hear that. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am currently in the act of having to reparent myself with my eating habits, because my eating habits have gotten a little bit out of control and I'm feeling out of alignment. It's not a guilt. It's not fat. It's nothing like that. It's feeling out of alignment. Like, the best version of me does not subsist on frozen pizza and bacon cheeseburgers. That's all it is. If the best version of you subsists on frozen pizzas and bacon cheeseburgers, that's awesome. Great for you. I don't get to tell you what the highest version of yourself. So anyway, I'm in this process of reparenting that part of me that's feeling like it's getting away with something, or maybe it's gotten lazy. I'll definitely say there's a part of me that's gotten a little bit lazy. And that's why I've defaulted to eating these processed foods, these foods that come out of boxes, because it's easier. And so it's a big act of self-discipline, which is self-love, to gently steward myself or direct myself back toward the path of nourishing foods, which is the path that the best and highest version of myself has to walk on. Now, I could go about this in the way that I described earlier, anger and belittling and shaming myself. So I could be like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe. Look at what you've been eating. Just look at it. Look, you've gained weight. Your skin isn't as clear. There's no one to blame for how you're feeling except yourself. Clearly, you have lost sight of what's important, and you're probably going to have health consequences because of this. I could take that approach with myself. I've taken that approach with myself in the past. Didn't get me very far, but I've done it. Or I can take the approach that I talked about earlier, where I can be gentle with myself. I can accept myself exactly how I am, exactly how I've been eating, frozen pizzas, box mac and cheese and all. And I can reach back like a responsible, regulated adult, grab the hand of that part of me that wants to subsist on cheeseburgers and boxed mac and cheese, and say, hey, follow me. I know where we're going. You know how to go there too. You've been there before, but you've forgotten. You've got a little bit distracted, a little bit lazy. You've slipped back into some old patterns, but I'm the adult here. I'm taking your hand and I am gently leading you back towards the foods that make you feel like the best version of yourself. Notice I didn't say I'm completely restricting carbs and sugar. Notice I didn't say you have to cut out every single processed food. Like, I didn't make those blanket statements like that, that are very judging towards ourselves. It's just, hey, I'm the responsible adult here. I am regulated and I am leading you back to this place with loving self-discipline because you've gotten a little bit off track. Isn't that what we do with our own kids? Isn't the result so much better when we do that with our kids than it is when we yell at them or belittle them or punish them or shame them? It's all in the way we're treating ourselves and others. So I'm doing some reparenting of myself right now with how I'm eating. And I am also learning some lessons about my inner child and also the way that I've spoken to my inner child around how I've eaten and other patterns in my life that have surfaced multiple times, and also around the pain in my hip. And I just want to read this download to you one more time, and then this episode is going to be over. So treat your pain, and I would say whatever the pain is. So the pain could be a wounded inner child. It could also be actual physical chronic pain that you are having a difficult time figuring out. It could be a chronic health symptom that you're having a difficult time figuring out. Whatever, you know what it is intuitively when what you're experiencing in your body is related to something deeper and emotional. If you don't know, I can promise you your higher self knows. And if you come back to yourself and back to a place of self-trust and listening to your intuition, it will guide you to knowing if what you're experiencing has roots in stored trauma and emotions. So treat your pain, whatever that pain is, as a hurt child you are trying to comfort. You treat it like a stepchild, always demanding and begging it to speak to you and tell you what it wants and why it's misbehaving. Have you tried that on a kid or had it tried on you? You were hurting and confused, and what you needed was someone to hold you and comfort you, someone to tether to while you figured out life. Instead, you got scolded. How dare you have feelings? But you're the parent now. It's your job to reach back and take the hand of the frightened child inside of you. to let them know that you've got them and you won't let anything bad happen to them. Go first so your inner child can feel safe to follow you. Don't push. Rather, allow love to penetrate into the fear so that there is more love and less fear. Always more love and less fear. Safety is the absence of fear. Your absence of fear will create a feeling of safety for your inner child to hit some developmental milestones and come into the present. You call back the fragmented pieces of your inner child, the parts of you that are stuck back in the past and all its scary feelings. You call it back from the past by holding that child's hand and helping them forward. Friends, as always, I hope this episode supports you. If you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, please bring them to the community forum and start a discussion there so that we can all have that conversation with you. I love you all, and I'm so grateful that you're in my circle.